It is good to see everyone today, and we just praise Jesus for the privilege of assembling on this Lord's Day. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, a message I've entitled, Living the Faith Life Life. We've been looking at living the life for the last 5 or 6 weeks. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I've come to give you my life. My power, my energy. We looked at the law of the spirit of life that Paul talks about in Romans. That word nomos means a force of action, like gravity, like inhaling and exhaling. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, as we have seen, when Jesus breathed into the nostrils of those disciples, the resurrection breath. My friend, we have received the resurrection life. So today we want to look at faith, the life of faith. Because Paul says, let me go ahead and read it to you, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now that's what we've been studying. Christ living in us, and then our goal is that He lives through us. He lives through us. He just invigorates us. He takes over our mind, our heart, our soul, our emotions. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And many translations have changed that faith of to faith in. And that's incorrect. It's the faith of the Son of God. And I've got other scriptures I'll show you over the next few weeks where it's talking specifically about the faith of God. Because you're going to understand, you're going to learn one thing about faith today, hopefully, and that is that faith is a divine ability given to you by God. It comes from God. It doesn't come from man. My ability to believe in God's been given to me by God. And so we're going to look at that in a moment. So, today we want to look at, you know, what does it mean to experience the faith of the Son of God? Understand it, define it, explain it. Because it all comes down to this in a very basic form. What you believe in is who you are. And that's just the bottom line. And that's in anything. You've got people that believe wholeheartedly in capitalism, and you've got people that believe wholeheartedly in socialism. And folks will always say, you know, I just don't understand how these other people believe the way they do. Well, the other people believe the way they do because that's who they are. That's who they become. You've got people that absolutely undoubtedly believe in the existence of God, and then you've got people that absolutely undoubtedly don't believe in the existence of God. And that defines who they are and how they look at the world. Yes. And that defines who I am and how I look at the world. But what you believe in is who you are. And if you believe in your religion above all things, then I'm going to heaven because I am a certain religion. Then that defines who you are. If you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sins, and the only reason I'm going to heaven is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that defines your loyalty and who you are. Do you believe your good works are going to get you there? That defines your worldview or your theological view. So what we believe in defines who we are. So it's real important that we know what we believe in. What is our faith? Let's go to Jesus. Father, as I come to you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin that I confess to you out loud. And Father, I'm praying that you crucify my flesh, as Paul said, that the carnal areas of my flesh dry up like chaff and blow away. And be filled with the life-giving righteousness of the Spirit. Father, I pray not only to be washed and cleansed by the blood, but to be changed by the Spirit in my confession, in my prayer closet. And I ask right now to be anointed with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, in this simple little message that's going to begin us on this journey today, that your Holy Spirit takes over and you let everybody in this room, everyone listening on this website know that you love them so much. As we saw last Wednesday night, the hairs of our head are numbered. Every minute detail of every life that is listening right now, you care so much about, you died for. So, Father, I want to thank you that you are the God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants to bless us with your plan of goodness and our family. So, Holy Spirit, please take over. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. And you got to understand something right from the get-go. It's very important that we understand and define faith. I just wrote down several notes as I was writing this the other day. The just shall live by faith, according unto your faith, be it done unto you. If you possess the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, mountain be removed and cast in the sea. And that will happen. The scripture goes on to say, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then I wrote this one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this is just the tip of the iceberg on faith. So what is our faith? How do we define our faith? What do we need to learn about faith? How do we live this life of faith, experience this life? And I'm not going to give you the Greek. I've given you the Greek for over 20 years. It's pistos, pistis. And I'm not even mentioning it. I'm going to try to biblically define faith. And it all hinges on that of. So, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the scripture says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I am now living in the flesh, the life I am living, God said, I came to give you my life. This living spirit. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want to give you a doctrinal point right here. Two ways Jesus is described throughout the New Testament. Sometimes he describes himself as the Son of Man. Sometimes he is described as the Son of God. When it says man, it's capital M. Very simple, very basic. Anytime you see him described as the Son of Man, it is stressing his human nature. That Jesus Christ came in human nature, and when you see that he is being called the Son of God, it is stressing his divine nature. So Paul does not say here, I am living by the faith of the Son of Man. I am living by the faith of the Son of God. And so what he is stressing is the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So this faith that is energetic and alive and powerful within Paul can be described this way. It is a divine faith, energy, ability, or action. It is a divine faith, ability, energy, or action. Because you're going to see in a moment, faith is an ability. All right? It's an ability to do something. And I'll get ahead of myself. Faith is the ability to believe in something. Biblically, faith is the ability to believe in God. To believe in God's existence. To believe in God's power. To believe in God's intervention in your daily life. To believe in God's compassion for you. To believe in God's care about you and your children and your grandchildren. Faith is your ability to believe in all these things. There are many people, and you got to take it to every area. There are many people that believe in the existence of God, but they don't believe God cares about them every moment that they breathe. Amen. So their faith comes up short. So you want your faith to be this breathing, living force of action. That's that word nomos we've been studying. That is active in your life. So faith of the Son of God, Paul saying, is living in me and it controls my life. This is a divine faith, energy, ability, or action. It's a force of action. Now go to Romans 12 and I'll make the point. And we're being as basic and simple as we can be. Because, you know, there is a huge mentality out there. Whether folks realize it or not, they believe they got to save themselves. They believe they've got to keep themselves. They believe they got to do all these things. And I want you to understand something very important here. And I'm going to make a point. It's not my point. It's not my quote. It was an author I was studying, but I'll give it to you. I think it's wonderful. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Now, he's talking about the men that are among you. In chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So Paul's writing to Christians. He's not writing about the faith that saves you. He's writing about the faith after you get saved. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we're praying for these emergency vehicles that are responding now. We pray, Lord Jesus, you protect them as they go. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be with the situation they're going to. Yeah. And we pray for safety and healing. Many folks in this room have been in bad accidents. Yeah. Many folks in this room have been in dire circumstances, and you pulled them through. Yeah. So we're praying you pull these folks through, yeah, and you be with our first responders. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Let prayer become a part of your life. Every time you hear an ambulance, you need to pray. Every time you get in the car and buckle up, you need to pray. Every time your feet hit the floor in the morning, you need to pray. We need to breathe, we need to pray. Before you see a patient, Ms. Pat, you need to pray. Christy, before they come into the class, you got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. You know, it's not just me that goes back there to pray before I come out here. You know, I'm no different than you are. I make a living that's a little different, but y'all make a living that's a little different than what I do. So we're all the same. But what I want you to understand here, look at what he goes on to say. Don't let any of you think more highly than he ought to think, according as God hath dealt to every man the same measure or amount of faith. So I want you to understand, God has given to every born again child of God at the moment of salvation, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, we all receive our faith ability. It's like a muscle and it's the same size. Everybody gets the same amount of faith. So what I want you to understand right now is the source of your faith is God Himself. All right. The source of your faith is God Himself. And you don't want to operate in your faith. You want to operate in God's faith that has been implanted in you and imparted to you. So here's the quote. The divine ability to believe in the divine is given to us by God Himself. Amen. The divine ability to believe in the divine is given to you by God yourself. And there's the most basic definition of biblical faith. Biblical faith is a divine ability to believe in God. Not talking about believing about God. I'm talking about believing in God. Yeah. Placing your trust and confidence in God. So recognize that. Faith is an action. It is an energy. It is an empowerment. It is an ability that is divine and supernatural and allows you to believe in God. You ever seen somebody just going through a horrible situation and they look at you and there's a smile on their face and you can discern peace in their heart and they say unto you, I know everything's going to be all right because my God is going to take care of this. And there are people that walk away and say, how in the world can someone look at what's going on in their life? My friend, they are operating by the power of divine faith. It's a supernatural gift. It's a supernatural impartment that comes to us from God. So the source is God. It is a divine ability to believe in the divine. So faith in its rawest, most basic form is a divine supernatural ability. I got it and you got it. Everybody's been given this ability. Now, you may not have the ability to preach. You may not have the gift to preach, the gift to teach. You may not have the gift of encouragement. You may not have any of these gifts that are listed. But every man receives this faith at the point of salvation. And it's imparted unto him. So I want to show you in its rawest form, it is an ability. It is a divine ability. So let me show you to it biblically. Go to Mark chapter 9. And Jesus makes this point. And faith is a muscle. I want you to think of it not only as an ability, but a muscle. You've got to work that muscle out every day. I got a bicep. Daniel's got a bicep. His is a whole lot bigger than mine. He works out every day. He takes off Sunday, but he works out every day. So even though we both have a bicep, his is larger. Same way with faith. You got to exercise your faith every day. You got to work it out. You got to feed it. You got to nourish it through the Word of God, prayer, and communion, and by living it out. So understand, but folks, you know, even the disciples said they wanted more faith. Jesus said, you got enough faith. It don't work that way. You got to strengthen the faith you got and allow it to be encouraged and nurtured and developed. Mark chapter 9, verse 20, they brought this young lad to him. And when Jesus saw him, straightway the spirit tore him and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And the dad said it happened when he was a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, please have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, it doesn't have anything to do with my ability. I created all the universes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. So I want you to understand two abilities are questioned here. The Father questions the ability of Christ to heal. Yes. Jesus questions the ability of the Father to believe. Amen. So the point is, faith is an ability. And I want to tell you something. You know, Brother Larry and I, many, many years ago in our younger days, about 2000 when I moved here, we used to play tennis together, sometimes twice a week. Coach David Bird would play with us. And we'd just go out there and wear one another out and just have a ball and make fun of each other and everything. And tennis is a sport I've been playing since my college days. But tennis is a sport you have to develop, and you have to develop muscle memory and all those things and serving and different things. And if you play it regularly, you keep getting better and better at it. But if you lay off 6 months and go back out there, you got to rework and redo a whole lot of stuff. And it is the same way with faith. As long as you keep walking with God, man, it's going to keep building up. It's going to keep strengthening. You're going to keep that muscle memory going in a spiritual way. And what Jesus is saying unto this daddy is, you got to develop your faith. Do you really believe? Do you believe in me? Do you really believe in me? Do you believe I can do this? And then notice what he says. Notice what he says, and this is a great prayer. And straightway the father of the child cried out in verse 24, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help me in the areas of my unbelief. That's an honest prayer. Yes, sir. Yeah. Everything you're dealing with in life, I'm going to tell you something. We can take one area of your life. It might be a family situation, a job situation, or a health situation. Yeah. And in certain areas concerning that family situation, that job situation, or that health situation, your faith is strong. And your faith is growing. But because of circumstances, because so much time has passed, because you got a report back from the doctor, because the economy doesn't look good, whatever. Because of circumstances, there may be areas where there's some unbelief and doubt. Yeah. You need to confess to God, all right, God, I got this news. Now I'm starting to doubt and fear a little bit, Lord. Help my unbelief. And His Holy Spirit will remind you of things, certain things that will combat those particular fears.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I promise you. Lord Jesus, you know, it's a great prayer to say, Lord, I've got faith. I've got faith you're going to handle this. I've got faith you're going to handle this. I've got faith you're going to handle. Father, strengthen my faith in this area. Lord, I want so much faith, the devil's going to have to run away from me. His lies are going to become mute in my ears. Lord Jesus, strengthen my faith so I can go through this trial and glorify you.
Amen.
And so you got to keep praying that prayer, man. You know, one of my little tricks is I always remind myself that the Lord has created all the universes, those that we see and those that we don't. I know He can handle this. Yeah. And so the situation keeps shrinking. It just keeps shrinking. And then you can go back and think about personal things He's done. Amen. But think of Him on that grand scale. I know He can handle this. So the source of faith is God, and faith itself is an ability. I want to make just one more point today. It's going to take a few moments, but go to Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to understand another aspect of the faith of God, the faith of the Son of God that is living within me. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11. Didn't know if you knew that or not. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It starts with an H. So if you're looking it up right now, it'll be after the J's in your index. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." And then Hebrews 11 goes through this whole list of what the Bible calls the heroes of faith. Abraham and Noah, Sarah, David, Daniel. And it names all these great things that by faith were accomplished in the lives of these people. But when he gets into Hebrews chapter 12, he's saying, even though all these wonderful things were done in all these lives, even though fiery furnaces were defeated and lions' dens and the Red Sea was parted, the greatest example of faith on earth belonged to Jesus Christ in the life that he lived and what he did on the cross. Now that's what he's saying here, so let me read it for you. Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, like in a stadium, all these faith people that have gone on before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race, the course that is set before us." Those people in Hebrews 11 ran their course. You got to run your course. "But as you're running it, you look unto Jesus," and this is where we stop, "the author and finisher of faith," not our faith. Well, Brother Lil says "our" right there in my Bible. That got added in. That should not be there. Okay, now the faith is in us. But Jesus is the source of faith. Alright? This is God's faith in me. It's not my faith in me. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, that word "finisher" means preeminent, complete, perfect. All right, so what it's saying there is Jesus Christ is the preeminent example of perfect, complete, and fully mature faith here on earth. He's the preeminent example of somebody living a life of perfect and complete, fully mature faith. Everything Jesus did, he did by faith. His faith never failed him. He never acted not upon his faith. And so when you want to go through life, you look at the example Jesus set in life. But more specifically, look at the example he set on the cross. Now look at what he says. And here are the clues. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down right now at the right hand of the throne of God in total, complete victory." So what kind of faith did Jesus Christ have? All right. Faith is an ability. Would you say with me, ability? Ability. All right. Say it again. Ability. All right. Faith is an ability. Now we're going to get specific. On the cross, Jesus faced, endured, and triumphed in the trial of the cross. He faced the cross. He set his face to Jerusalem. He endured all the suffering. before he got on the cross, all the whippings and scourgings. He endured the cross where every demon of hell came against him, where the devil himself came against him, where all the sins of the world were placed on his physical body, all the anguish of the judgment of sin was placed on the emotion of his soul, all of that, all the condemnation of sin, and yet the power of the ability of his faith faced, endured, and triumphed over it. And that's what it means that he sat down on the right hand of God. Are you starting to understand why I need the faith of Jesus Christ operating in my life? Yes. You will never face a trial or tribulation greater, more powerful, and more destructive than what Jesus Christ faced on the cross.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you,
Keith. And his faith is in you.
Yes.
Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never go through a harder life than what Paul did. And folks say, how in the world did Paul do all he did? Other than Jesus Christ, boy, Paul did incredible things in a life of trial, tribulation, and storm. Well, it's because the faith of Jesus Christ is the energy and the spiritual ability that got him through. So faith is a divine ability, all right? We understand that. Whose source is God? Faith gives you, Christian, the faith of the Son of God gives you, Christian, the ability to face, endure, and triumph in your struggles and tribulations. Now that's a great ability to have. It's given to us by God. And sometimes you just have to stand up and shake things off and say, the faith of God in me is going to get me through this. The faith of Jesus Christ that endured that cross and triumph is going to get me through this. Because that faith's living in me, devil, so you scat.
Yeah.
That faith is living in me. So by faith, call down the powers of heaven. Call them down in any situation you're facing in your life. I got to pray with my friend Beth yesterday, and we're accepting nothing but the powers of God to come down and work in her life. Beth's probably 3 years younger, 2 years younger than I am. And we're just called, Ronnie's a year younger than I am. And, you know, we've been through a lot of good times together. Fished together, hunted together. I was sitting in the stands in Tallahassee when he threw for over 300 yards against Florida State, number one ranked team in the nation. And he was there pulling for me all through my career. We have just loved each other as brothers. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to grab on to God for y'all.
Yeah.
And I want you to understand that. We can all do that for each other, and we can all do that for ourselves. And we get ourselves in a situation, we just say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to grab hold of you for this thing. And let me tell you something. When you're grabbing hold of God, you know what he's doing? He's grabbing hold of you, and he's lifting you up.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
by your faith to walk on those waters. And on those waves. So look at what he says. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And praise God, it didn't end there. That scripture doesn't end there, neither did his life. He didn't just endure the cross, he won.
Amen.
That's what it means where it says he sat down on the right hand. The battle is over, I won. And that's what's living in. Faith is an ability. It's a victorious ability. We face, we endure. And this is in weeks to come, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. We're going to study the faith of Gethsemane. You say, Brother Leo, what was the faith of Gethsemane? Well, it made its example clear when Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And you know what the energy of the faith of Gethsemane is? It is submission, surrender, and trust. Submission, surrender, and trust. When my faith allows me to say, Lord, I'm submitting to your will, I'm surrendering to your will, and I trust your will. However you want to work this thing out, I know it's going to be the best. And once you give that over by the divine ability of faith, your life is going to become a whole lot more relaxed and calm in the spirit. But as long as we struggle against the will of God, trying to impose our will on a situation, then there's always going to be that contention and turmoil. Faith is a wonderful and beautiful thing. The divine ability, energy, strength given to us by God. I want to show you one more verse, 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to give you First Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And the scripture says this. The people who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now when I get saved, I am kept by the power of God through the faith that God Himself gave me. Until the last time.
Yes.
What if you just quit believing? You mean God's going to quit believing in Himself?
Yes.
You mean the faith of God's going to quit believing in God? All right, I'm kept by the faith of God that is within me.
Yes.
But now notice what it says. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are in heavy struggles through many trials, temptations, and storms. Know this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand one more point, and I'm going to close with this one. Every trial, every tribulation, every crisis, every storm you go through, God has allowed it to come into your life because it is the only way to get that bicep bigger.
Yeah.
It is the only way. And you may not realize this or not, but the most important thing in your life, according to God, is that your faith in Him be strengthened. He wants you to have stronger faith in Him tomorrow than you had today. He wants you to have stronger faith in Him next week than you've had this week. And the only way, He says, count it all joy when you go through these storms. Because you might think the devil's trying to destroy you. God is trying to build up your faith. So Lord, we're in this thing together. We're going to walk forward by faith. And I'm going to grab hold of you. And you're going to grab hold of me.
Yeah.
Next week, hopefully, we'll move into this point. Faith apprehends something as a reality that is not revealed to our natural senses. Faith allows us to see the invisible realities of life. God created all things, those that are invisible and those things that are visible. Faith grabs onto the things we cannot see. I believe with all my heart that God created the world. But I was not there, and I didn't see it done. Praise God for my faith. I believe with all my heart Jesus came out of that grave alive. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Praise God for your faith. I believe with all my heart the sky parted and He went up to heaven. And I believe with all my heart He's coming back.
Amen.
Praise God for your faith. You got faith. All of you got faith.
Yes.
We just all got to hit that weight room in the morning and keep exercising our faith. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Spend a few moments in quiet contemplation before the Lord and just thank Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for the divine faith You have given unto me. Let me use it for Your glory in this situation. Would you pray that prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank You for the divine ability of faith that You have given me. Let me use it, Lord Jesus, in this situation.